If you don't know me, my name's Caleb. I'm one of the pastors here. If you do know me and you know me very well, you know that I'm not a reader. I read my Bible, but outside of that, you won't ever catch me on my day off breaking open a book. I've enjoyed some books here and there. Please do not feel the need to recommend a book to me. I'm not going to read it. I may read the back. I may go and get a Cliff Notes, if Cliff Notes is still a thing. That got me through high school. Don't listen to that. But I'm just not a big reader. But there have been books that I have appreciated, and one of those examples is a book called Love Does. This is a book by Bob Goff. We've required our students to read it. JT introduced me to this book, and I really appreciate the way that Bob Goff writes several of his books. And the way that he writes his books is he tells stories about himself. He tells stories about his own life and how God is interacted with them, interwoven through them, and what he's learned through these stories. And so in the process, you hear stories about Bob's childhood. You hear stories about how he met his wife and how they got married and how they've impacted future people that are getting married. You hear about how he applied to law school and how on his office hours, he actually goes to Disney and sets up on Treasure Island, and that's where he operates his office hours. So I learn all these things about Bob as I read his books. And then a couple years ago, I had an opportunity to meet him. Because he was at a conference, he was speaking, and I was like, oh, this is going to be pretty cool. I can go up afterwards, introduce myself, and meet this guy. And what I had recognized is that I knew a lot about Bob Goff. But I had to introduce myself. He doesn't know who I am. Of course he doesn't know who I am. And I realized that I actually don't know him. I just know a lot of things about his life. I didn't even know that he was going to be taller than I was. I pictured a short law professor, and he towered over me. So I didn't know him, and I didn't really have a relationship with him. I just knew facts about him. And that's what we're talking about today, because the topic for today is knowing Christ. What does it mean to truly know Jesus and to be known by Jesus? We're on a discipleship series, and Be Become Do is what it is called. We're spending several weeks in each of these topics, and so we're in the Be With Jesus weeks. Be with Jesus. Last week, Pastor Bruce talked about abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, that you have to be connected to the true vine who is Christ in order to bear any good fruit. He had several pairs. Apparently, he needed one for each hand and a backup. He had his shears that he could trim off the dead stuff with, and he could bring about new fruit to the plant because we sometimes need pruning. Last week was about abiding in Christ. And today is knowing Christ. How can we really know Jesus? God, as we turn to your text today, would you reveal more of yourself to us? God, would you reveal what it means to truly know who you are and to be known by you? God, if there's any confusion, if there's things that we think that we're known by you and we're not, if there's any issues with this, would you reveal those to us today? We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the breakdown today will be a little bit like this. We'll start out talking about the importance of knowing Christ and what it means. What does it mean to know Christ? And then I want to look at what is the impact of knowing Christ. Is there an impact that happens? That kind of is part of why it's important. But what's the impact, the result from knowing Christ? And lastly, how can we know Christ? We'll get some application of the way in which you personally, I personally, can know Christ. So like my knowledge of Bob Goff not leading to any knowing relationship with him, in the same way, knowing Christ is not going to Google, typing in Jesus Christ, clicking on the Wikipedia page, and reading about him. Or memorizing the facts about who the person of Jesus was. He lived 33 years. He died on a cross. People think that he is God. Knowing these things is not what it means to know Christ. I think a lot of us would agree on that. But let me take it a step further. Knowing what the Bible says is not knowing Christ. Knowing what the Bible says about Jesus is not knowing Christ. Silas, our three-year-old, is now in Cubbies. And I love what our Cubbies program, our Awana program does. I went through that. And he had to memorize a verse, and it brought me great joy what Rob and Dana are doing in the cubbies and all the volunteers and teaching scripture to our young children. It is so important. Don't misunderstand this. But memorizing scripture is not knowing Christ. Your church attendance, your serving, your giving, any of your volunteering capacities is not knowing Christ. I went to Iowa State. Notice the verbiage here. My wife is an alumni. She graduated from Iowa State. I went to Iowa State. In my short, probably has to do with using Cliff Notes. In the short time that I was there, I had to take a humanities class. I had to take a humanities elective, and one of the options was Intro to Christianity. And me, being a lazy student, said, this is a no-brainer. This is going to be some easy credits. I grew up in the church. I know stuff about the Bible. Let's just sign up for Intro to Christianity. I go into this class, and the first day, the professor comes in. He leaves his sunglasses on for the whole class, which was a weird thing to begin with. And he starts taking attendance just from memory. He had memorized the roster of this class. Now it's a 30-person class. It's not a lecture hall. And then he just starts reciting scripture from memory. And he starts telling us things about the original languages that he knows. And he knows all this stuff about the Bible. I come to find out in a conversation after class that he's one of the top scholars in the country when it comes to the Bible. The caveat is this guy is an atheist. He knows so much about the person of Jesus, but he does not have a knowing relationship with Jesus. He knew all the stuff that you could possibly know, but didn't know Christ. And knowing about Christ can leave you unchanged. Knowing about Christ can leave you without heart transformation. But when you truly know Christ and are in a relationship with him, there is going to be transformation that happens in your heart, and then it reflects the way that you live your life, which we'll get to shortly. We'll be in several passages today. We're starting out in Philippians chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Philippians 3, and we'll look at what Paul writes about when it comes to the topic of knowing Christ. Philippians 3, verse 7 says this. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In the verses prior to this, Paul lays out some warnings about the Judaizers, is what they're called. You don't need to know what that means. I'll tell you, Judaizers are holding on to the Jewish law, circumcision, following the Jewish law, thinking that that is what's going to give them their righteousness. Okay? And Paul is saying, I did that. In verses 4 through 6, he goes through and he talks about what he has done. And he tells people, you have no reason to boast in the flesh. Don't boast in the flesh because it's about God. But if anyone has reason to boast in the flesh, again, he's not saying that's what I'm doing, but he says, if anyone has reason to boast in the flesh, it's me, Paul, because I was circumcised, because I'm an Israelite, because I was from the tribe of Benjamin, because I know the law in and out, because legalistically speaking, according to Jewish law, he says, I'm faultless. He has built for himself a religious resume that no one could compare to. That's what Paul talks about in the verses prior to this. He's built up for himself this religious resume that holds up to anyone else's. But then he says, but whatever were gains to me, this religious resume that looks so fantastic on paper, I now consider loss. Why? For the sake of Christ. And he doesn't just consider it loss. He goes on in verse 8, he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So the things that he was doing weren't inherently evil. It is not evil for him to know the Jewish law. It's not evil. It's not bad for him to have been circumcised. These aren't bad things, but he's focusing on the wrong things. All the attention he recognizes needed to shift. It's not about this resume that I've built. I need to shift my perspective. And he says, what I need to shift it to is the greatness that it is of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's where the surpassing worth is coming from. That in comparison to that, all of this is so low. He continues, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage. Your translation might say rubbish. Because everything about Christ is so great that everything else is so little in comparison, it might as well be trash. It might as well be waste that you just pick up and throw in the can in the corner. Let's keep reading. I consider them garbage that I may know Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You may have thought to yourself, Caleb, why do we need to know the background on Paul? We're talking about knowing Christ today. What's so significant about those things that he did back then that don't apply to us today? We don't have people in our context here at Calvary that are following all the 600 plus Jewish laws and that are worried about all the things that Paul's talking about. Why is that important today? And I would say, let me modernize it for you a little bit into our context. And I could tell you that I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up in a home that brought me to church every Sunday. My mom and my dad read their Bible regularly. They had their Bible reading plans that they would check off and go through the scriptures. I went to Awana, had all the little trophies, the Pal of the Month, the Pal of the Year, all the Pioneer stuff, all those that don't even exist anymore, but some of you know what I'm talking about. I went through those. I memorized the verses. I went on a mission trip in eighth grade to inner city Chicago, and I could share the gospel with people. I don't know if I had the boldness to, I don't recall, I probably didn't, but I could take you down the Romans road and share who Jesus is and what he means to you in your life and that we're sinners and that we need a savior in Jesus. And I could do all of those things. But when I was an eighth grader, there was no relationship between me and Jesus. It was a lot of head knowledge and nothing that had impacted my heart. I was like Paul. I had built this religious resume, but that's all it was amounting to. It hadn't become a surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. So the question for you, when it comes to the surpassing greatness that is knowing Christ, is that something that you believe? Do you believe that compared to knowing Christ, everything else is garbage? I'm not talking, do you come here on Sundays and you can sing the songs about just wanting to be like Jesus and you can drop your dollars in the offering and you can do the community hour thing and do the Bible study. That's all well and good. But what Paul recognizes is that Jesus is his Lord. He says, Jesus Christ, my Lord. He doesn't say Jesus Christ, my Lord of Sunday, but he's the Lord of his life. Do you truly believe that Jesus is greater than anything else that you could possibly have on your resume? That Jesus is truly greater than anything else you could possibly amount and amass for yourself in the flesh, in the earthly system that we have? Do you believe that, and are you living a life that would reflect that? This is the foundation of all of this that we're talking about. The foundation before we move on to what it looks like to know Christ is that you do know Christ. Without knowing him and being known by him in a relationship with him, then none of the rest of this can take place because it's the very foundation that it's built on. But what does it mean? What does it mean to know Christ? Knowing Christ means several different things. The first three will come from the passage that we just read. The first one being, knowing Christ means union with him. To know Christ means that you have union with him. In the verses we just read, Paul said he wants to be found in him. That's this union language. Paul wants to be found in him. And so when God looks at him, when God looks at you, what it means to be in union is that God no longer sees your sins, but he sees Christ's righteousness in you. It's not that we're just on the same team. He's over there playing his position. I'm doing my thing. No, you're attached and you're in union. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And this union changes, should change, everything about the way in which we live our life. It means we're no longer defined by our past, our mistakes, even our successes, we're not defined by any of that. What we're defined by is Christ and the righteousness that he offers, which leads us into the second one. Knowing Christ means trusting his righteousness, not our own. You can know that you have Christ's righteousness, that when God looks at you, he sees you as righteous, but is it lived out in the way that you live your life? Or do you still try and do these things thinking that you're attaining some greater level of righteousness than those around you because you serve every other week in CK? Because you're giving in the offering, because you read your Bible daily and you know that the people that are sitting in the chairs next to you aren't doing that, so I must have some greater level of righteousness. We can get so caught up in the good things that we start to not trust fully in his righteousness, but we start to think that the things that we're doing can bring us some righteousness. Yes, Jesus gives us righteousness, but I can also add some of my own little flavor of righteousness to the mix. No. Knowing Christ means trusting fully in his righteousness alone. Paul said, a righteousness of his own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. That's the beauty of the gospel, that Christ's righteousness isn't given to you by attaining certain things or by being a good enough person, because no one in this room would be that good enough person. But it's through faith alone. Knowing Christ means we stop leaning on what we can do and trust in what Jesus has already done. Number three, knowing Christ means fellowship with him in his resurrection power. That's exciting. And his suffering. That might not seem so exciting. But this is what knowing Christ means. In Romans 8, Paul says, the same spirit who raised him, Jesus, from the dead, lives in us. The same spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. So we have fellowship with him in his resurrection power. What does it mean that the Spirit is living in us? It means we have strength that we would not have on our own accord. We have strength to resist sin. We have courage to follow him even in the difficult times. And we have a hope that death is not the end. We know that there's more to it than that. But on the other hand, knowing Christ also means sharing in his suffering. This doesn't mean you go looking for pain. You don't just go out and bring about persecution on yourself in sinful ways, and you're trying to beat yourself down because that's what it means. No, but we know that if you're following a life truly after Christ, there are going to be some challenges that are going to come your way as a result of that. Whether you have morals that keep you from getting a promotion at work, whether you have friendships that you've lost over the years, there are things that we know that we could lose, and it's being okay with that, because compared to the greatness of knowing Christ, again, it's rubbish. It's garbage. We know that we're called to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, which is to die to oneself and to follow him, to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's those moments of suffering that actually bring us closer and stronger in our relationship with Christ. Some of my favorite themed movies growing up, still today, I watch a lot of movies, don't read a lot of books, are sports movies. And sports movies typically have a high school team, a college team, and they're trying to win the state championship. That's the gist of all of these sports movies, right? In a nutshell. But what happens in almost all of these movies is the team faces something really challenging. All right, I think about Remember the Titans. And they're going on this long run. They're starting when it's dark out, and they end up at Gettysburg, right? If you've seen the movie, you know that scene. And then they're having practice, and they're practicing all day, and the coach says, no water. Water makes you weak, right? Which is a crazy statement. But they don't get water during practice. Or I think about Coach Carter, where they're running all day, and the team comes together, and they're running back and forth on the court. Right, they're doing these things and they're working together. And what happens almost always after these scenes in the movies is they have this team camaraderie that they didn't have before. I don't think this is just a Hollywood thing. I do think that when you face suffering with somebody, when you go through that together, it can bring you so much closer together and such a stronger relationship. And the same is true with Christ. If you lean into him and don't turn your back on him, forsaking him because of the trials you're going through, you can come through that stronger in your relationship with him. If you lean into him through the suffering, you can truly grow in that relationship. So to know Christ is to embrace both the joy of his resurrection power and the depth of his suffering love for you. And lastly, knowing Christ means living in obedience to him. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. 1 John tells us we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So there's a balance here, right? We know that our works are not what grant us salvation. We know that. But we also know from scripture that we're called to live a life of obedience, that we're called to live a life that's honoring to God. The obedience is the evidence. You may have heard the fruit that we truly know him and are in a relationship with him. People should see something different about you if you're in a relationship with Christ. It's kind of like if you really know someone in your life and you really love them. All right, so think about a spouse, a parent, even a friend, coworker, and you really care for this person and you have a strong relationship with them. You desire to honor them with what you do, what you say, and your actions. The same should be true with Christ. That out of our love for him, out of our desire to continue to grow in that relationship, that's where the heart comes that we want to be in obedience to him. It's not to check things off a list so that we think we have righteousness. We just talked about that it's through Christ alone that we have righteousness, but it's out of obedience and love for him that we do these things. Hopefully you're beginning to see that knowing Christ is about a relationship with him, not some knowledge and checking off the boxes. But why so much focus on this? What could it mean in our lives? And I want to look at a couple examples in the Bible of people that had an encounter with God that's lives were changed drastically. The first one being in Exodus chapter 3. So turn way back in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at the life of Moses. The beginning. We won't look at the life of Moses. We would be here all day. We'll look at the beginning of the life of Moses, not the baby part though, in chapter 3. And it says this, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. This begins this encounter that he has with God at the burning bush. And they continue this conversation, this dialogue, and they have this back and forth that we're not going to read all the way through. Some of you are familiar with it. But part of the dialogue that happens is God says, I know the trouble that your people are facing right now under Pharaoh in Egypt. I know that there's an issue and I care for the people. And so in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses, when told that he should be the one that goes, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Why would you send me? That's his first question to God is, why me? And then he goes on. We're not going to go through all the verses again. But later, he questions, who should I say sent me? Because it's not my authority, this measly little shepherd boy that they're going to listen to. Who do I say sent me? God said, tell them that I am sent you. And he says, what if they don't believe me? He says, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speaking. I'm not the best speaker. How am I going to get them to listen to me? And finally, he says, please send someone else. Moses is going through and he's wrestling, metaphorically speaking, with God, saying, I don't want to be the guy. I'm not qualified to do this. I don't think I have the strength, the courage, the speaking ability to do this. He finally, in that interaction with God, has a change of heart. We don't fully know all the details of his change of heart, but we know that Moses recognizes that with God, I can do this. And he goes and he has encounters with Pharaoh and he delivers the people out of Egypt. And so Moses ends up being used by God and is one of the heroes of the faith. He goes from timid shepherd boy to courageous man of faith in God. Why? Because he had a real, authentic encounter with God at the burning bush. And it changed his entire character moving forward. It changed everything and the trajectory of his life. What about a New Testament example? Zacchaeus. You've heard about Zacchaeus and you know that Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Yes, Chino, we've got a bunch of people that are ready to audition for the worship team. Zacchaeus was short, and so he climbs a tree because he wants to see this Jesus guy that people have been talking about. But what's important is what you know about who Zacchaeus was, and that he's a chief tax collector. The tax collectors are despised. Why? Because they didn't just take what you owed them. They took extra to pad their pockets. They're thieves and they're crooks. And Zacchaeus wasn't a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. Whether that means he's getting an extra cut, whether that means he's telling people how to be crooks and thieves, he is a nasty guy that people do not like, and he's a sinner. But he hears about Jesus, he climbs up in the tree, and he wants to see Jesus as he's walking through. And some of you know how the encounter goes from the song that we were just singing, that Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down, I wanna go and eat with you. I'm gonna spend some time with you. I wish I could be a fly on the wall in that whole interaction that Jesus had with Zacchaeus and see how all of that conversation broke down. But what we do know, what's clear, is that Zacchaeus recognizes his sinful ways. He repents. He gives back to people what he's taken. And he has a heart that has been changed by this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. Zacchaeus' life was radically changed because he had an authentic encounter with Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, Caleb, these are a bunch of Bible stories. I don't even know if I believe that these are true. Can you give me something more recent, more evident? And I would say if you were with us a couple weeks ago, you heard Erica and Teresa's testimonies right here before they were baptized of their hearts, their lives that have been changed by Jesus. We have baptisms all the time of people that are sharing the impact that God has had. At the riverfront, we heard the testimony of Jeremy. In your rows next to you are people that could tell you how their lives have been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus. And they wouldn't tell you, oh, when I started going to church, maybe that's how they got in and heard about Jesus. It's not the church attendance that changes a life. It is the encounter with Jesus who softens the heart and brings about transformation in the life of a person. Knowing Christ is a transformative awakening of a new sense of love, a new sense of joy, and of satisfaction. The short clip we saw of the seed earlier, right? Each week we're having these little clips of the seed and what it's becoming. And I know it's probably going to end with a big plant, but I haven't seen all the clips that it's going to be. But today, talking about the root system growing down. I'm no horticulture expert, but I know that a root system is so important. Otherwise, you're not going to get a plant that starts to grow up. And the rootedness that the plant has is similar to us needing to be rooted in knowing Christ. If we're not rooted in knowing Christ, the rest of it's not going to happen and the fruit's not going to be there. We need to be rooted in that relationship, and it's the only way that growth can happen. And even better news, yes, knowing Christ impacts your life here on this earth, but we know that it also impacts your eternity. It impacts your eternity. Take a look at John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal life. This is eternity with God in heaven, that you know Jesus Christ. One day, for those who are in a relationship with Jesus and have made known, they're in a relationship with Jesus where they're known and they're known by him, this is what awaits them, eternity with him, satisfied in him forever. Gotta take the cap off before you can take a drink. We can know Jesus more and more while we're here on earth, but we can also cling to the fact that we will know him fully someday, that we will be in that perfect relationship, that perfect union with him once and for all. There's a level whereby understanding things from Scripture is great. Right? Understanding what it means to know Christ is great, but if we don't do something with it, I'm a firm believer in what are we doing with this information? Because I grew up and it was not due to my parents, it's not due to Calvary, it's not due to any of that, but I grew up and it was just stuck head knowledge. Right? I wasn't letting it impact my heart and my life and seeking for what God wanted from me with the information. It just stayed head knowledge that I had. So the big question for today, for you to wrestle with, for me to wrestle with, is how can I know Christ personally? How can you know Christ today? And for some of you, this is a beginning of the relationship type of question. And I would love to start with you. Some of you in here aren't in a relationship with Jesus. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. Maybe that's because this is your first day here. You've never been to church. You don't know any, these verses, you've never heard them before, and it's all new information. And we are so glad that you're here. And I would tell you, you can enter into a relationship and be known by Christ today. He's ready and waiting for you. Others of you maybe have been at Calvary for years, decades even, but maybe you've been doing all of the things, but it's stayed head knowledge. Maybe you don't have a real relationship with Jesus, are not striving to live in obedience to him, trusting in his righteousness alone, not your own, and you're here because it's the right thing to do on a Sunday, to check it off the box. Maybe you've never entered into a real relationship with Jesus. Either way, what I can tell you is that regardless of one of those camps that you're in, you can be known by Christ today. It takes recognizing, as Paul did, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you are a sinner, that I am a sinner, broken, breaking that relationship with God. Romans 3 tells us that all have sinned. We all in this room have sinned. We need to recognize that we need a Savior who is Jesus. To make him the Lord of your life, to try and live your life for him, recognizing his death on the cross on your behalf for your sins. He conquered death and that he wants you to be in a relationship with him. That's what you need to know to enter into a relationship with him. You don't have to have it all put together. You don't have to have all the addictions kicked today. You need to trust in Jesus to be your Lord and let him impact your heart and take care of the rest. You can be known by Christ today. Others of you may have made that proclamation at some point in your life. You're in a relationship with Christ. You know you're a sinner. You've said, Jesus, I want to live my life for you. My challenge to you is, are you living a life in obedience to him like we're called to? Are you living a life striving to be obedient to him? Are we going to be sinners? Yes. Does that give us an excuse? Paul says, should we go on sinning? By no means. We need to strive to be like Christ more and more each day. Are you seeking to obey God's will for your life? Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, this is one of the toughest passages to wrestle with for me in Scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Again, it's not works that save you, but if there are no obedience, if there is no obedience to Christ in your life, you maybe need to evaluate if you truly are in a relationship with Christ. This would be an indicator. So for those of you that have Christ in your life, are you striving to live in obedience to him? Or are you just coasting, saying, oh, I prayed the prayer back when I was a kid. I'm good to go. 1 John 2:3 through 6 says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." And we're going to talk about that more in the coming weeks of this series. So do you really know Christ? Does Christ know you? There are some key ways for us to be able to spend time with Jesus, knowing him more, developing that relationship with him, not unlike you would with a spouse or a friend. It's listening to him, which would be reading the Bible, reading his words that he has for you. It's talking to him, which would be prayer. Right? I think we would all agree to develop a relationship, there needs to be some communication. Are you trying to honor him with your life, which would be obedience? Are you willing to face trials and maintain the relationship throughout them? Sharing in his sufferings. This is the very foundation of Christianity, is to know Christ. It's relational. It's not a religious resume that we build.